Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and good evening. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Married and Loving It. I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. We have a special guest from We Still Do, Inc., Marriage Ministries. And they have ministries under their umbrella as Married Women Reaching Out and Married Men Making a Difference. And tonight we're going to talk about blended families. So I pray that you join us and stay tuned. We have some other announcements, and I'm opening up with scripture and a prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. Amen. We're going to be reading from scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, starting at verse number 10. And the word of God says, "Now to the married I command, ye not but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife." Father God, we say thank you today, Lord God. Today, Lord God, we're talking about marriage. We're talking about being married and loving it, Lord God. Father, today we pray, God, that something will be said that will encourage and strengthen the marriages, Lord God. That those things, oh God, that struggle, that couples struggle with, oh God, that they'll be reconciled, God. We're praying your Holy Spirit, God, would do a work in them, oh God. For those that are listening today, tonight, oh God, we ask, oh God, that they might hear something that would encourage them, oh God, to hang in there, oh God, to find the answers, God, to seek you, oh God, and your wisdom for whatever they're dealing with, oh God. Continue to bless us, oh God. We thank you for Derek and Maria Purcell for joining us tonight, and continue to watch over them and bless their ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and it's Friday, the 13th of May, and this is a special broadcast for Married and Loving It, and we have to thank you for joining us. If you're listening online, you can call into 646-668-2636 and join the conversation, share your wisdom, ask some questions of our guest tonight. And also, you can always listen to the archive of this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We have a couple of announcements, some upcoming events I wanted to share with the listening audience tonight. The Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence is having a 2016 dialogue series, and this event is coming up on Wednesday, June the 22nd, 2016. And discussions that we're going to be having on that day is the role of men in preventing domestic violence, increase awareness and the silence, and connect with resources, and for us to be proactive. And it's going to be held at the Baltimore Washington Convention Center, United Methodist Church Mission Center at 11711 East Market Place in Fulton, Maryland. The zip code is 20759. More details, you can go to the website. It's at www.weareHopeWorks.org, or you can call them at 410-997-0304. And again, that's the Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence, the role of men in preventing domestic violence. And it's going to be from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and we pray that you would consider coming out. Also, you can find that event and all our other upcoming events on our Facebook page that is connected. It's Issues Christian Men's Talk, and you can reach out there for us and talk to us and also get information about that and any other upcoming events. Amen? Amen. Mr. and Mrs. Purcell, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening, Deacon Farr.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Good to hear your voices. I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join me tonight for this broadcast of Married and Loving It. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about blended families. Because in the body of Christ, we're knowing as folk coming together and folk have other children from other relationships. And then when they come together in the body of Christ, sometimes in that dynamic is a lot of challenges. And I ask you two to come on tonight because I know some of your testimony that both of you had children and from previous relationships when you came together in your marriage and the process you went through to overcome it. So I just wanted to be able to share that wisdom with folk, and hopefully we can help someone else who's struggling with that right now. Because we hear a lot about that in the church in couples who, you know, they've come together, they've built relationships and decided to get married and had either younger children and adult children. That's something else we had to talk about, because that sometimes brings issues in that bond, in that union, that coming together, and they struggle with. But we're going to get right into the conversation. First of all, if you would like, could you share a little bit about your testimony, who you are, and a little bit about your ministry?
Sure. We are Derek and Maria Purcell, and we have a nonprofit organization called We Still Do. And what we do is we educate and empower men, women, and married couples to possess and produce godly marriages and families through biblical principles. Within that umbrella is Married Men Making a Difference, Virtue 31 for Young Lives, and Married Men Making a Difference. And they're all affiliates that We Still Do. And we're all committed to serving, encouraging, and celebrating the lives of men, women, and children through prayer, community outreach activities, resources for couples such as small group studies, marriage conferences and workshops, and date night events.
Amen. 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 And I personally want to recommend it, because I've been a couple of date nights and the men's events. I haven't been to the Bring Your Sexy Back yet, but I might, you know, I don't know if brothers allow for that one. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see if we can play one of those for the brothers. Right, Brother Derek?
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we want to talk about blended families. And like I said, when we define blended families, we have to change the definition. I know in past generations, in past times, it was referred to as step families. And sometimes that brings a negative connotation into it, because when we use the word blended, that's what it has to really be, that where you're coming together, and just as a husband, a man, and a woman come together to form that union and that covenant to become one, that same philosophy, that same vision has to come when we're bringing, you know, children into it from two previous relationships, and to make it work. It can't be ignored, and it can't be, you know, just think it's going to work out. No matter how young your children are, sometimes people think because their children are young, it's going to be easy. It's not going to be a big deal. And I think that's where it comes into play, where the problems come later on down the road. Well, let me start with this, Brother Sal and Brother Maria. First thing, in the Bible, are there really examples of blended families in the Bible that we can glean from?
Absolutely, there are. Jesus Christ, we can look at our big brother, our father, our Savior. Joseph was not really Jesus' father, but one could say more like a stepfather, so to speak, because Jesus was born from a Virgin Mary. And from that, Joseph really took care of Jesus. He never recognized Jesus as a stepson. He never recognized Jesus as a blended son. And Jesus grew up with half brothers and sisters in his family. There, Matthew 13:55 talks about that. Deacon?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here. Well, I mean, you're right. That's you know, sometimes we forget that part when we read about, but if Jesus was the son of God, Joseph was not his father. And it's, I believe it speaks about it later on in scripture about his brothers, that he had brothers and sisters. That's one of those Bible trivia questions we used to do back in the day in Bible study. How many brothers and sisters did Jesus have? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
There's also an example of Abraham with Isaac and Ishmael, which that wasn't as great as Jesus' family, where we had a little turmoil there between the two individuals. So there is a one that we can talk about that was extremely graceful, and one that even to today, they are the generations that fell after that are still at war. Deacon?
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're right. That right there would be one of the bad examples, because that turmoil, unfortunately, is what I want to say. It's a metaphor, or it's a reflection of what goes on sometimes now. But even in this 21st century, in the body of Christ, you know, that example of, you know, Sarah, you know, we know the story, but then when the child actually got there and it's Sarah had her own child, then it became an issue. And that same kind of threat to the family structure and that same kind of motion is some of the things that we have to be able to deal with in the body of Christ, because it should be able to make it work. But let me ask you this. What I want to do is just pick, you know, your relationship and your marriage and some of the things that you've overcome, that folk that may be struggling with it now or may have be in a negative situation. Like, for example, let me just say this. You know, I'm going to go with the basics. I'm going to keep it plain and real. When we're dealing with the children, especially when children are in their preteens or teenage years, and they know that the other spouse, be it male or female, is not their biological father because there's still a connection. And when the child reaches a certain age, when it comes to being disciplined, then that you're not my mother, you're not my father. How can you speak to that?
Well, one thing that Derek and I did, we are blessed to have four beautiful, wonderful daughters. And before when we got married, we sat down and we talked to them. And one thing I shared with my daughters was that I don't ever want to hear you say, "He's not my father." God has sent Derek to our family for a reason, a purpose, and I just wanted the twins to know that we are adding to our family and we're growing together as a whole family, and it was a purpose in all of us being together, and never will we allow them to disrespect us, our marriage, or each other. All of the girls are sisters, and they communicate as sisters, and they act as sisters. And so whether their biological moms or dads are in the picture or not in the picture, we are united, and we communicate with the other parents so that we can raise them as a unit.
And I think it also helped because we have a relationship with God. And at the end of the day, that's our foundation. That's exactly what we live by. And you can't come into a marriage professing God but not acting in a godly manner. Mm-hmm. And so the very thing that we believed in, we walk that walk. And we were able to just operate on one accord regarding our daughters. I talked to them individually. I took the time to get to know them and to learn them. There were painful moments because in the beginning they didn't want to open up. Who is this guy that's coming into my life when I'm 16 years old?
Yeah.
Why is he prying? What does he want to know? But at the end of the day, as a parent, all parents must win their children over, or at least their trust, to the point that they're willing to take a leap of faith with you. So I was consistent in the things that I said I would do. I prayed with them and for them. And in the beginning, they didn't want to pray. They may have been a little ashamed of that. But through consistency in prayer, we were able to operate as a family. And at the end of the day, you just have to be focused and don't give up. If God ordained this to be a family, then we must operate in such. Deacon?
Amen, amen. Well, I want to ask you a question, because you said you talked about it before you got married. Was your as part of your premarital counseling, did you bring the girls in the discussions with the pastor, or How did it look for y'all? How did it work out for y'all?
With us, we did not. I know that many couples do, and I think that it is great to have the children to come in and also go through part of the counseling. But with us, we did not, our pastor did not have that session with us. But we were so proactive in making sure that all of the girls would understand the purpose of us coming together. There's a purpose in our marriage. There's a purpose in our family. We had to let them know up front what we would allow, what we will not allow. We were always let them know we are a united front. And so if you come to him and then you turn around and you come to me, you're going to get the same answer.
And there were times that in getting to know them, I understood them. And they'd come and say, hey, well, can we do such and such? I would say, what did your mother say? Oh, okay, well, you already know what she said. I said, okay, well, we have to listen to what your mother said. Had you came to me first, maybe there was an opportunity to do such and such, but we're not going to go back and forth. So we set the tone early, knowing that we would not allow ourselves to be played by children. So it kind of just as when you plant a flower, if you plant a flower in a smaller pot, it'll grow structured upright. But if you don't plant it in a large pot, it may not grow as structured, but it will still grow. And this is how we must operate with our children, not just our children, but with our families in general, because ultimately a marriage is based upon a husband and wife, and that foundation must be set and stand upon it. Deacon?
Amen. And I think that's some wisdom right there that we can share with all our marriages that, you know, especially my children at a certain age, and that, you know, trying to, you know, pit mommy and daddy against each other, or ask one parent and then get a yes. Because me as a father, I know that's happened to me, because they come ask me stuff, and yeah, look, I don't care, I'm good. But their mother already told them no. So, you know, then I'm in trouble, and then once I get in trouble, then everybody's in trouble. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you set me up. I'm trying to be nice, and you set me up, but, you know. But that's something that, you know, that's some good advice, because I know that's something we all go through as parents sometimes. When our kids try to, you know, trying to figure out who they can get and who they can get to say yes, and then they roll out the door. But anyway, amen. Well,
amen.
Okay, well, I wanted you to come and share, because I knew that your family structure was, and you overcame some things. How would you share with the listeners that how'd you handle some you know, negative things that went on when you had to, because, you know, you were blended and there was issues happening? How did you really handle it when it came down to, you know, what we said, when the rubber meets the road? Is there some issue or something that you actually had to handle and come together and then confront united that some families might struggle with now, that could really divide the couple, divide the husband and wife because of, you know, the blended family situation?
Well, I think that because we were used to living just the girls and I, and bringing and adding Derek into the family, and then his daughter, we immediately became this one family. So we're all in the home together, and the twins, you know, they were used to doing things certain ways, and so we just kind of had to sit down and talk about, okay, so how are we going to go about doing things? Okay, so now you are going to have to cover yourself up, and you can't run around the house, you know, because we were all girls and we could just run and do whatever we needed to do. And they understood it, but they felt like things were being taken away from them. And so, again, we had to pray. We had to sit with them, and we, you know, we said, okay, we're going to pray together. And so we had family prayer, and not just, oh, we'll handle this, and we're not the type of parents that say, do as I say. We are parents that we want our children to do as we do. And so we have to be the example. And so you cannot be disrespectful. Your mouth, you cannot say things, hurtful things out of your mouth without repenting, without saying I'm sorry. And I think it was just a little struggle, even with the girls, because, you know, they're teenagers and they all, you know, have that teenage stuff going on. So it was quite interesting in the beginning, but we have a flow. We have a beautiful, beautiful flow now, and there's much love and respect and honor. And I even had a conversation with the girls, and they were telling me how their friends who would come over noticed that they were kind of mean to Derek in the beginning. And they were like, how could you be that way to him? He's such a nice person. You know, he has added something to your family, and their friends really loved him. And they, you know, they told me, they were like, Mom, we just didn't want to like him. We just didn't want to. But we realized he is a good thing. He's something great for our family. And so just hearing that, you know, they recognize over a period of time that he is a good person. And we are going to work together. And I think that because they could not break us, they could not, you know, separate us. Not that they tried it. But, you know, kids, they can be manipulative. And so just knowing that now we are just really fortified and strong. And when people see us, you would not know that we are a blended family, because we don't use step family. We don't use blended. We are a mom and dad. We are a family, and they are our daughters.
And I think my perspective coming into this helped as well, because I didn't come in with an ego, I'm going to replace your father, I'm going to rule over your life. I came in knowing that as a servant leader, I should add value to the young ladies' lives. So there is a fleshly side of me, but there's also a spiritual side. And, of course, through prayer and fasting, the spiritual side is above the flesh side. Thank God for that. But I never poured back into them any negative energies. So if they said something, it helped that I had an identity on who I am in their life, who I am in Christ, who I am to my wife. And at the end of the day, I just never reciprocated anything back to them. And this helped. Consistency overwon any inconsistencies that they may have shared, whether it was what they were going through, anything prior to me meeting them, and it works. So that has to be the most important thing. Remember that we're a family for a reason. We're a family for a purpose. And it's important to know your role as a father in a family. And you never see God coming off of his throne to come manage affairs that he's orchestrated someone else to manage, or that he's already set in order, because he's God Almighty, he's sovereign. And if we operate in that realm, knowing that God is within us, we shouldn't do certain things that are not in our characteristics, in the core existence of who we are. And that's what we must be, strong men in our homes. If we're the priests, we should act like the priests. If we're the servant leaders, we should serve and lead. And that's from the model that Christ gave us as men. Deacon?
Amen, sir. Amen. You know, I thank you for that, because that's one of the things we talk about a lot. You know, we as husbands and fathers, you know, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm hearing your passion. And I think that's where a lot of it has to come. Because as husbands and fathers, we have to set the atmosphere in the home. And that's what I'm hearing a lot of, that if the atmosphere is set, even when we're talking about blended families or bringing, you know, children and children from other relationships together, and I'm hearing from both of you that it's about setting the atmosphere up front and not doing things. I'm looking for the word. I just lost. Oh, proactive. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yes.
That we have to, you have to be adults about it, and we have to be proactive about it and set the atmosphere, and the children will flow into it. Because it's like you said, they may not, you know, it's funny what you said, I wrote it down here, they didn't want to like Derek. So they was already at a mindset. So
yes.
If anything you would have done that wasn't copacetic, oh, that's an old school word, they already would have latched on to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think for our audience that's listening, I think it's setting the atmosphere and being proactive is what I'm receiving from this. Amen?
Absolutely.
You're listening to Married and Loving It. We're here with Derek and Maria Purcell, and our topic tonight is blended families, and they're from We Still Do, Inc., a ministry that they run for marriage. They're going to share their information a little bit later. You can contact them. I want to go on to a next question I have for you. I wanted to really, if you could share discussing, I know you said a lot about the prayer and about being proactive, but what advice could you give parents or couple who seems like the thing is it's starting to fall apart? You can say you're a couple years in, maybe not the first, but you're like 5 and 6 years in, and the children were younger. Exactly, because I believe you said your children were already in their teens when y'all came together.
Yeah.
But if the kids were younger, and then it's a couple years down the road, and they're reaching that preteen, that middle school, that early high school, and it's starting to wear down, you know, what is some advice you can give that they could do that can try to help them once they realize it's starting to affect the relationship, it's starting to affect the household?
Well, I'll start and then let Maria come in, and then I'll just say something else. But I think that we must recognize that things are going to happen. We must also recognize that we're a family. And if we're going to proclaim to be children of Christ, that has to be real. So it's really not what does Derek want to do. How would Christ react to this? And whether you want to admit it or not, once you say you're a Christian, people are watching you. They want to see how you're going to react. Even our kids want to see, well, how are we going to react to this? And I think that must be at the forefront of our mind, not just when it comes to our children in difficult situations, but with anything in our life that we're going through. And if we fail to do that, then everything from Genesis to Revelation regarding our lives according to the scriptures is a lie. And before we allow that to take place, we have, I don't want to call it an emergency preparedness program, but pretty much that's what it is. If this happens, we do this. Well, if this happens, we're not going to divorce. We're not going to give up on you. We're not going to throw the towel in. So now that we have what we're not going to do, let's work with the options that we have. Maria?
I think that communication is so key. You must actively communicate with your spouse, with the other parents, because I think that you all have to be united. As children grow, they go through different stages. I think that there are things that we need to talk about as far as parenting and discipline, what happens when you're at one home and then when you come to another home. There are just so many dynamics, and many times the issues that arise in families or marriages or whatever, it's really not the issue. It's because you have not communicated about it. And I know we don't like to all talk about, well, what happens if things go wrong. But if there's a fire in your home, you don't talk about what you're going to do once the fire is started. You talk about, you get prepared for that. And so we have to, as parents, prepare for what happens. Okay, so when these children are going to be entering middle school and they're going to high school, what are our plans? What are we thinking about? How do we plan to handle which school they want to attend, or what are the different things? We have to seek God in all things. Stand united and seek God. We have to pray not just for our kids, but with our kids. Let our children hear us praying for them. That's so important. They love to hear that mother and father are lifting them in prayer. It's really, really just important for a child to know, because it lets them know they are on your mind. They are important to you, that you would take time to pray for them.
I think also that you must remember, no matter what you're going through, the kid is rebelling. Don't focus on the rebellion. Focus on the higher calling. You know that based upon your stance as the father and the mother, that your child has a purpose in Christ. That's what you focus on. Focus on the higher calling. And then also, we should focus on the children. And by focusing on the children, I don't mean that we allow the child to run the life, run the marriage, or run the family. But if you know it's uncharacteristic of your child to be acting that way, well, as a parent, you should kind of understand what's going on. What's the root cause of this acting out? Everything has a root cause. And in coming to that root cause, you should be able to come up with a solution on why this has taken place in the first place. Because if you're always in prayer and you're always communicating and you're operating in oneness, that child is going to miss that love from those things that shadow from that. And in doing that, then we also, there's a moment because we pray that we have to allow God time to act to the situation. If we prayed for something to take place, then it does me no good to go down and jack the child up or jack the child's parent up because this child or parent didn't operate in the realm that I wanted them personally to react. So all of this has to work together. And just like walking and writing, the more you do it, the better you get at it. The more you pray to God, the better you pray. The more you read the scriptures, the more you desire it. So these aren't things that happen overnight. They're things with practice makes perfect. And in doing so, you look up and you say, oh, my God, I've been praying to you for 15 years now. So through your actions, you're operating in perfection. Deacon?
Amen, amen. You know, what you're saying, it's so relevant. And in for parenting, I mean, even for our married couples, some of the things you're saying are so relevant. I know tonight we were talking about blended families because of the struggles and the family that I know personally who in the beginning, again, had those kind of issues. But a lot of this is about us as Christian mothers and fathers, that we have to, again, the Word of God is our blueprint. That's our marker. That's our guideline. And again, like you said, we have to see in our children, even for those who have biological children together, we have to see that God has a plan for their lives, no matter what they're doing right now. And even if it's in acting out and all these other things, that's also something we have to have the wisdom of God to deal with. And I know that sometimes it's hard when we have, you know, children that are not our biological. So, that's very important.
Yeah. We have
go
to
ahead.
Do something that you said made me think about respecting. And as Christians, although you may not agree with another parent on how they do things, we must have respect for one another. And I think that goes a long way because if a child sees you disrespecting their parent, what do they think of you? And how will they treat that parent? So we have to be, you know, sometimes you have to agree not to disagree, but you also have to show God's love. We have to be loving when we are connecting with the other parents and other children and just come together and be truly Christ. Take a breather. Pray before you speak. Because when things get heated, you can say some things and it could damage the child. And so we want to be very careful as to not to do those things, just to kind of take a step back and pray and think about what you're saying and the effect of what you're saying or what you're doing so that the child knows that you are loved. I may not agree with what you're doing or what you're saying, but I love you. And I am disciplining you. I am talking to you, whatever, with in respect. And this is what God, what we always tell our children, that they are gifts. They are our gifts. God gave us them, gave them to us as a gift. And so we have to treat them that way. We can't throw them away, or we do not give them, place them in anyone's hands. We know that they are precious, and we have to build our children up, all of our children, and they must all be treated the same. You cannot treat one differently than the other. And I know we have to raise our children in different ways, but as far as love and time and commitment, they need to know that mommy and daddy love me just as much as they love child number three, number four, number five.
And that's just, we have to be real with this. Either we're going to be a Christian family or we're not. And again, because that's the foundation that we're standing on, the more I study, the more I grow, it's the core essence of who we are. And it doesn't make sense for us to operate as that cool uncle did when we were not living as Christians, or to operate as something that we may have seen on TV, or TV has a great influence over us because of how much it's on. It doesn't make sense for us to operate in that regard, because that's not who we are. And I can just tell you, the more that you drive forward in operating in godly perspective, the power of God handles things that are out of order. It's impossible for there to be disorder when there's order. The two just can't match. They don't come together. So if we're in order, it makes it hard for disorder to live. Deacon?
Amen, sir. Amen. You know, you know, bro, we've been hanging out too long, because you're starting to say the things I'm saying. You're just saying it in a different way, because
amen.
I said, you know, God, a man brings order to the chaos. A husband and father, if you're doing his job, he's bringing order to the chaos. But, you know, that's just me. But anyway, amen. Amen. You're listening to Married and Loving It. We're here with Derek and Maria Purcell, and we're talking about blended families. And some of the stuff, that the wisdom that we're sharing, can relate to all of our family, with all of our children. So I pray that this is being, someone's being blessed. Again, if you're listening online, you can call in at 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation, share your wisdom, or if you have any questions you would like to ask. And also, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to the rebroadcast, or if you're listening and you want to share it, listen to it again, or share it with your spouse, or, you know, share it with your church members or someone you know who may be struggling in a blended family. You can do that at the website. I want to ask you, I want to bring some real life episodes here and see if you can help some folk out. One of the things, when you said about all of you, because I believe Sister Maria, you mentioned it, child one, child two, and child three.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I want to ask. It's like this. What do you think? You know, sometimes parents struggle because they have expectations for different children, and it may reflect in they have higher expectations for their biological than they quote the child of their spouse, and that can be manifest a lot of ways. You know, if you have the child, we have this in our own family, but one child is doing better in school or doing better in sports, and the other child's not. One child's on honor roll. One other child may be, you know, a C student, and they're all living in the same house. And, you know, dealing with, you know, favoritism. That's the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That favoritism that may or may not develop. And children, I believe children can latch on to that kind of thing, even though we're not paying attention. What advice could you give a couple to that, how to try and dodge that pitfall, that trap?
Well, again, I'm a Christian, and our desire is to at all times operate in excellence. So we know that that takes place. That's easy to take place, but we want to be fair. So we have a loving God. I've asked God to help me be fair. I've asked him to show me if I'm being partial in any way. And the truth of the matter is, he does, and he will. And when that has happened, I have come back and said, you know what, I'm partial in my stance here, and I want to apologize for that because I allowed this to take place with you, and I didn't allow it to take place with your sister. So I think immediately we have to repent when we recognize that we're doing things. And, you know, my 11-year-old, she's adorable. And she, you know, she shared with us, she said, Mommy and Daddy, I'm struggling with being a Christian. And so we began to talk to her. And I began to pray to God, and I let my pastor know and things like that. I began to pray to God to help me understand how to speak to this. Well, I began to allow her to know. I said, you know, Daddy isn't perfect. I battle daily with living a godly life. I just don't give in to the things that are worldly. She said, well, I didn't know that. I thought that this was just so easy. I said, no, this is complicated. Being a Christian is one of the most complicated things you're going to do in life because you have to be in the world and not of the world. And so we have not because we ask not. And so in understanding that, it's important not to show partiality because you can cause division within the children, which causes division within the family. So in trying to put up safeguards, I ask for God to show me that, and he does and did. And I dealt with it in a repentful manner. And I think that type of honesty helps families stay strong. Maria?
I think it's also important to teach each child, to show each child just how important, just how special they are, to celebrate the things that they do great, the things that they do good, the things that they don't do so well, but at least they try. And when a child knows that you're paying attention to them and that you see and that you hear and you are praying for them, they appreciate that. We each take each girl out separately and we do certain things. If one child likes bowling and another one likes the movies, then we take the child who likes bowling, bowling, and we take the child who likes to the movies, to the movies. And so by touching them individually, it makes a difference because we have a set of twins. And so with twins, usually everything is together. They've always had birthday parties together. They do everything together. But Derek takes them out separately. And so when he does that, it makes them feel special. We must celebrate our children. Yes, we have to discipline them. Yes, we have to correct them. But we also must let them know that they are special. Our children have to know that their identity is in Christ. They are stronger when they know their identity. They are stronger when they know that someone else recognizes that there is greatness in them. And so that's why we uplift them all the time, when they're in our presence and when they're not in our presence. They know I am special. I am special as a sister. I'm special as a family member. I am special. I am special to God, and I am special to my parents.
Amen, amen, amen. And, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, I appreciate, again, I just wanted to share that I appreciate your coming on and sharing this wisdom, and our listeners are hearing it, and our audience is hearing some of this. And again, I just want people to understand that. Real quick, how old are the twins now?
The twins are 30.
And how old is it?
The next one is 26, and then the baby is 11.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, they know what they're talking about. They got 30-year-old, a 26-year-old, and an 11-year-old. So they learned something from the first three, and now they got another one. So they, the 11-year-old, she got it made because y'all got it all together. So y'all got all the answers. Thank you, Jesus. And so this is going to be a good job. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. But again, I thank you for coming. I thank you for speaking. Now I want to touch on some real, I just want to share some wisdom. We have about 20 minutes or so left, but I do want to just lay a foundation. You know, the foundation of, you know, we say in blended families, but just a healthy foundation that folk can take away from this. Because, you know, everybody's not, you know, everybody's in different places spiritually. They're different places in their marriage. They're different places as they work through this process. But if you could you just share some foundational principles on something that people can, you know, that they can lock onto that's going to help, that's truly going to help them. Not even if it's going well now, but if they keep these foundational things, it'll help in the lean times or in the times when there's going to be some testing and some trials. And we'd like you to share that with our audience, if you could, so that we know because we also here when we're talking about being married and loving it, we also want to give folks some solutions or a pathway to making it better. That if we don't get stuck where we are, even we may be going through turmoil right now today, but we want to look to the horizon, knowing that, you know, it can change, and we have to again, the word we want to use here is be proactive in facilitating that change. Brother Derek, let's start with you.
Well, I think it's very important that foundation, before we even lay the foundation, we have to have a relationship with Christ. We must know who we are, whose we are. We must communicate with Christ. And it helps. Maria said it a couple times tonight. I love that I have a woman that I can pray with. It's nothing like her praying for me and me praying for her. We pray on the phone. And so now that is where the foundation is built upon, it makes it easy to have repentance, to have confession, to expect change. And we must operate as one flesh. It's impossible for me to live in this marriage on one side of the house and allow Maria to live on the other side of the house and expect everything to flow. We have to operate in oneness. And that doesn't mean that we're perfect. Maria is not perfect, but she's the perfect wife for me. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If I sought to search out flaws, that would, number one, be ungodly, but that would distract me from all the great things that she adds to my life and to our family. And so this is the foundation that allows everything else to operate. And when we're talking about that repentance, you know, by itself it's like sand. It can't stand alone, you know. And so then there's this confession piece. That shows transparency within your family that a child won't think that my parents are far above me. I can't even relate to them. And then that change piece, we have to be willing to change sometimes. You know, maybe you don't like a certain sport that they're involved in, but change our mindset and show that we support them and hang out with them. The mall became a great thing to me because I had to understand what 16-year-olds love. And you know what? I love hanging out in the mall with them. We had fun going to the mall. And these are things that if we're going to be committed, which we should be, we really must do the things that committed people do. And in being a great father, that's going to cost you time. That's going to cost you your way of life. But the reward is so great when it all comes together. The fruit that yields from this is priceless. Maria?
I just think about how we have to, there are many things as parents that we do and say that we wish we hadn't. And so if we go to our children and we say, I'm sorry, you know, I was wrong. You know, I think our children will appreciate hearing, you know what, I make mistakes too. Because, you know, like I said, we're not perfect, and our kids need to know that we are relatable. And so when you have that foundation of Christ and you're praying and you're reading the Word and you're having devotions and fellowships, and I think that traditions are very important. I know that you may have had a certain tradition or, you know, whatever it may be before the marriage or within a different family, but knowing that when you come together as a new unit, that you create new traditions, and we have to be respectful and talk about, okay, so how is it going to look now? And ask the children for their input. We've got to ask them, how are you feeling? What's going on? You know, whatever is going on in our children, it's going to manifest in whatever way. It may come out, you know, in some negative manner, but if we don't open up our mouths and communicate with our children, we'll never know exactly what's going on. So when we can be open enough to say, hey, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, and talk to them about how we're going to change and ask God to change our hearts, I think that's going to help us as a family, help us as a married couple, and our children. Derek?
And parents, once we have this foundation laid upon Christ and we have the foundation built, don't crack it. Don't ruin the foundation. You know, as parents, we must continue to walk in agreement. And that applies to both biological and non-biological parents. We have to walk in agreement with them. Don't allow disrespect. If the kids come home and they want to talk about that parent that's not here, hey, you can't do that. Maybe they're going through something. So, and then also, we are the authority of the marriage and of the relationship. And as there are going to be times that things aren't going to go the way that we want them to go, but make the right decision. We shouldn't make decisions based upon our selfishness or what Derek wants or what Maria wants or what another parent wants. Make the best decision for what works well in the situation. And you know what? If you don't know what that decision is, you're not forced to make it right at that minute. Say, I need a timeout to think about what we're going to do and come back to it and then resolve it. Deacon Paul?
Amen, amen. You know, that's you're absolutely correct. You said a lot there. But, again, but I just want to say is that we have to, as families, as married couples, we have to definitely be proactive in things. We can't just let stuff happen. We have to prepare. I mean, you use that analogy of a fire. You know, what is the plan if the house catches on fire? You know, and we all have that emergency plan if something happens. I remember back in 9/11, you know, folks couldn't find family members because they had no plan. So people were running around crazy. And that's the kind of thing. Where if there's an emergency, where are we going to go? Where are we going to be? And even today, with the technology, we got iPhones and cell phones and iPads. That thing that taught us in an emergency, that stuff's not guaranteed to work. So where are we gonna try to find each other? And a lot of that is preparedness. So we want to bring that into the home, because you know life is gonna happen, and then also things the enemy is gonna throw at our families. We have to have a response for that also. And I think that's where the foundation of Christ, the foundation of prayer, the foundation of the Word comes in, that's going to preserve and keep our homes. And I pray that any of those that are listening, I pray that something was received today. Can you share with your audience, again, about your ministry, how they can get in contact with you, and if you have any events coming up soon?
Sure. We can be reached at our website, which is www.marriedwomenreachingout.com. We can also be found on Facebook. You can send a friend request to We Still Do, or you can look up Married Men Making a Difference or Married Women Reaching Out. And even for the young wives under the age of 40, we have a Virtue 31 Young Wives Group, a powerful, dynamic group of young women, young wives who get together and they discuss the issues in marriage and being young moms and young wives. We have lots of events planned for this year, and go to our website, and we have everything posted there. We will be doing a couple's picnic. We have a date night event. We have lots of things going on. We do workshops and conferences. So if you're married or you're thinking about getting married, contact us. You can reach us at 443-386-8876, or for the men, 443-630-9197. We host a monthly prayer line the first Monday of each month for men and the first day of each month for women. So we just encourage you to connect with married women reaching out, married men making a difference, and we still do. Deacon Farr.
Amen, amen. Again, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I pray that something was shared and someone can be encouraged. Thank you for your time. We'll be in touch. God bless you. Brother Derek, yep. Brother Sister Maria, it's words. I'm lost for words because I do appreciate what you're doing. And like I say, from a listening audience, I've been to some of the events. We had some good times. I still got my artwork hanging up in my room right here, looking at it. It's in my office. Bought a frame for it and everything. So,
amen.
So we had a good time, and we just had a bonfire event, and that was a blessing, and got to connect, celebrate some brothers there. So I encourage you, and I personally want to pray for your ministry. Also, I'm sorry, if they go to the website, I wanted to share this because did you have they can connect with you with annual fee to join to be part of.
Yes,
I can't think what it is right now, but the membership.
Yeah.
And that's something else. If you go on the website, you can be a member and be part of it and help support what they're doing. And I just want to encourage my audience to go there, check that part out too also. Again, you've been listening to Married and Loving It with Derek and Maria Purcell. We've been talking about blended families. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to thank you, and I thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again. Well, we'll be broadcasting again real soon. Thank you very much, and God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.